Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Evelise, a.k.a. La Sicaria, a.k.a. the baddest bitch in the building from Lucha Underground, and you're listening to the Oversell Wrestling Podcast.
It is episode 98, and we are looking back at all things professional wrestling. Get ready. This is the Oversell Podcast! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Oversell Podcast. My name is Derek.
I'm Dan.
You both went at the same time.
Well, it sounded staggered on our end.
Yeah, it sounded fine for us.
Yeah.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 98 of the Oversell Podcast. Be sure you're following us on Twitter. We are at Oversell Podcast, facebook.com/OverselPodcast. The website is www.oversellpod.com. And while you're there, check out the Amazon link. It is shopping on Amazon like you are going to do anyway. You're just helping out this podcast. We get a small commission on anything sold through that link. So head over to www.oversellpod.com and check out the Amazon link. Dan?
I am at One Dangerous Dan on Twitter, and I'm Dangerous Dan Matthews on Facebook.
At WolfMike23.
So a lot of stuff going on in the wrestling world this week. We had Extreme Rules Sunday, and what's bad is I cannot remember what happened on that card. I watched it, but I cannot remember what happened on that card. Bayley and 5 Feet of Fury, or whatever the hell her name is, had a match that was horrible, and you know, just. There's something wrong with Bayley on the main roster, and she should be connecting, but she's not, and it's not clicking. Now, is she just like a smaller crowd type of character to where she's only going to be big in places like NXT or Ring of Honor or stuff like that? What do you guys think?
Overrated.
Yeah, I think people are expecting a lot more out of her than she can give, you know? And plus you got to remember everybody was like balls to the wall in NXT, but when they come to the main roster, they always throttle them back, you know, because when you come to the main roster, you're doing it, you know, day in and day out. You can't pull all those moves that you were pulling in NXT just to wow people and get them on your side. So I think the fact that she's come to the main roster has hindered her. It's taken away from her move arsenal. And what she's capable of doing in the ring, not so much as what she's capable of, as much as that they're letting her do in the ring. You know,
now
we got to remember, you know, she's been doing like Iron Man matches and stuff like that with Sasha Banks, and was doing like Hurricane Ranas from the top rope. You know, and I have yet to see her do one on the main roster.
Now let me ask you this: if Bayley was on SmackDown. If she came to SmackDown on the Superstar Shakeup or whatever dumb shit that was, would she be getting different reactions?
Yes.
You think so?
Absolutely. I think SmackDown is booked entirely different from Raw.
Yep.
And, I mean, it just SmackDown's more captivating.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I don't know what the deal is with Raw, you know, or... You know who
the
person is that's holding Raw down as far as booking wise.
Here's the difference. I'll tell you the difference. It's Vince McMahon is not as involved with SmackDown as he is Raw, and that's why the product is totally different.
That is true.
That is true. I mean, you have former NXT writers over there on SmackDown, and that to me, it's like you said, it's the more captivating show. And Raw, it seems like their ratings each week are dropping, and it's because this 70-year-old out-of-touch man is in control and will not relinquish his grip or change his product because what he thinks is doing is right. Obviously, it's not right if your ratings continue to drop. And you can use this whole, oh, it's the basketball playoffs, blah, excuse. You can use the whole, oh, it was a holiday, excuse, blah. No, it's when you put on a shit product, people are not going to watch. Look at the women's division between Raw and SmackDown. Which one has the more exciting women's division?
That's actually tough to say at the moment, but
to me, it's SmackDown without a shadow of a doubt. They're putting on better matches. They get behind their characters more. It's the land of opportunity on SmackDown, and it goes for.
They're about to have a freaking Money in the Bank match for the girls.
I love Nia Jax's tweet about that, but we won't get into that. But it's just, I don't know. Go ahead.
It's obviously the land of opportunity if Lana just comes back and gets the title shot immediately.
Right.
And she's only wrestled in NXT. She's never wrestled on the main roster.
Yeah. She had the one, like, I don't know, probably 30 seconds of wrestling at that WrestleMania match a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
But other than that, nothing on main roster.
Yeah. What else did y'all...
Going back to the Bayley thing,
I still
think she's overrated.
I think
she had great matches in NXT because of who she was with.
I think the problem is how she's being used on Raw. Maybe now, I've said this for a while now, Bayley needs to go on a losing streak, and that's probably what they're going to do to build her up as a better underdog. Her winning WrestleMania this year, I don't think did any favors. I'll say it again. She should have lost this year. I think she should have lost next year, and on her third WrestleMania, against all odds, she pulls out the thing, and the crowd would have, I guarantee you, the crowd would have gone crazy when she won her first WrestleMania matches after winning two, because then the promo, now I know that's that's a long 3-year plan for somebody, but I think it's not,
right.
I don't think it's bad booking. I just think the way, I don't know, it's the booking that's killing her. It's this, you know, it's this 50-50 booking that a lot of superstars, I think, suffer from in the WWE.
Well, yeah, the rest of the card pulled up if we wanted to talk about that, because I do remember stuff about it.
Well, y'all can whatever you can remember, because I just cannot remember shit from this pay-per-view. I guess that's it's just you watch the pay-per-view, then you get Raw was all right for 2 hours, then you get that third Raw that just drags you into the ground. And, you know, I am happy that Samoa Joe is going to be facing Brock Lesnar, even if he is going to lose. But at least we'll finally get to see our WWE Universal Champion, even though he shouldn't have the title by now, being that he hasn't defended the title in 30 days. But, I mean, who's counting? You know, obviously not Vince, because we can just make a passe to the rules whenever we want to.
Yeah.
But at least...
I was excited about the Fatal 5-Way. That was the main match on the card that I wanted to see. The tag team cage match was pretty cool. I thought that was very well done, very well timed. The finish of that was, you know, pretty cool, I thought. Those are really the only two memorable things that I saw. Mm-hmm. You know, the women's championship match was forgettable. You know, they've got that convoluted rule, you know, where, oh, well, here's this kendo stick and it's on a pole and the first person to get to it can use it as a legal weapon. Okay. Well, I thought that meant that if Bayley gets the weapon down, she's the only one who can use it. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe that's just me old school thinking, but. You know, from the time that Bayley got it down, if Bayley dropped it and Bliss picked it up, then it was, you know, all of a sudden it was fine for Bliss to use it. You know, I don't know. It's a convoluted rule to me. You know, the way the like match.
It's also like the tag team match, of you know both people, both members of the tag team had to escape, but then once you were out. If you came back in the match, then both members still had to escape.
Exactly.
I mean, I can see where that kind of makes sense because, you know, just the numbers game, but it's kind of ridiculous when you think about it because the way it ended, Hardy should have won because Matt got out before, you know, everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, both have to be out at the same time. So, yeah, you know, that's I like that rule. That rule is a little bit easier to understand than the weapon rule, you know. So the whipping on a pole rule, you know, I just never have gotten that where, you know, I'm thrown back to where I think it was Jake Roberts versus Sting, and it was a coal miner's glove on a pole match. And supposedly this coal miner's glove was all decked out with all, you know, it's metal, and it might as well be hitting somebody with a cannonball if you're hitting them with this coal miner's glove is the way they put this over, you know. And
it was the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, exactly. You're hitting somebody with the Infinity Gauntlet if you hit them with a coal miner's glove. Yeah, they'll just disintegrate. There'll be nothing left of them, you know. So, you know, and they worked over this whole match and never once got that glove down until the end of the match, you know. And Jake was the one to get the glove down, but he, with the glove, he reached into his snake sack and got a snake out and, you know, was going to throw a snake on Sting using the coal miner's glove. He wasn't even going to hit Sting with the coal miner's glove. You know, he was just using it as a glove to be able to get the snake out of the bag. So, you know, I mean, and then, you know, that to me, you know, is a wasted gimmick. The weapon on a pole match, you know, that was a wasted gimmick on the girls, mm-hmm. you know, because it's a convoluted rule to begin with. And on top of that, it made for a terrible match. So, but that's my thoughts on that one.
I thought the Intercontinental Championship match was pretty good. It was a good way to start the show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know, I am. That's a new record for the Miz, right? Did he tie or break Jericho's Intercontinental record?
He's got seven of them now.
Know.
Okay, seven. Okay, not yet. Then yeah. He's got two more to go before he catches. So.
Jericho's a 9-time Intercontinental Champion. Wow.
Yeah, I believe so. Let me look that up just to, so people don't call me out on the internet for not. Chris Jericho.
You don't want that shit.
IC title.
Don't want that coming down.
I really don't care if the neck beards come after me. Let's see. Jericho. Let's see. Accolades.
I mean, you don't have his accolades like tattooed down your sleeve or anything?
Oh, I'm afraid of needles, so I don't like tattoos. So, damn night, I'm not going to have any tattoos. Let's see.
I
WWE.
I figured you would have printed them out and put it underneath that autographed picture.
WWE Intercontinental Champion. 9-time Intercontinental Champion. So, yeah, Miz is catching up to him. And he's been going off on Twitter. That's the only thing he's been talking about for the past few days. And I think that's good, you know, bring a little kayfabe stuff into Twitter. I always like that. So, you know, I think the Miz is a great heel. I don't ever want to see him as a face again. He's just pulling it off great.
I swear, anytime you put a microphone in front of him lately, it's just gold. You know, I could listen to him just go off on everybody for forever. It's like a friggin', you know, gold standard promo every time he picks up a microphone, you know. And you know, the crazy thing is I fully believe that he's the ones that's writing his promos.
Either that or they're not just scripting out his promos and just telling him, hey, hit these points. Because I think that...
Exactly.
Yeah, so... anything
and I've
else?
Never even been a big fan of Miz, but I'll admit that he's doing his best work right now. I mean, over the past year, he has been nothing short of amazing at what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, anything else from Extreme Rules that you guys liked, hated, remembered? Because, like I said, I remember.
I really enjoyed the main event.
Yeah,
I did too.
The Fatal 5-Way was great. Like I said, I like Samoa Joe getting the win, and they're kind of building Finn up as a big underdog. He wasn't even on Raw the Monday after, which I thought was interesting. Right. So it's interesting to see what they're going to do with him. You know, is he going to go into a program with Bray Wyatt, which means that'll definitely get him a win at a pay-per-view, because we know Bray Wyatt can't win at pay-per-views. but yeah, it was. I don't know. You know, there's so much wrestling during the week that these Monday or Sunday night Raws become forgettable, and then you watch Raw the next night, and that becomes forgettable, and then you got SmackDown, and you know, it's just so much wrestling that the crap just seems to go in one ear and right out the other. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's nothing's memorable, really.
Yeah.
You know?
We're not
that's what's been happening a lot lately.
We're not getting these moments where Stone Cold drives into a Zamboni, crashes into the ring, jumps off of it, and starts attacking Vince McMahon these days. We're just not getting big OMG moments like in the SmackDown versus Raw video game or WWE 2K17 where you can do those OMG moments or stuff like that. We're just not getting those in WWE, at least.
I saw an article, you know, that somebody had wrote, and they said, and this was before Jinder Mahal actually became WWE champion. They were on the line that, you know, they thought that Randy Orton would keep the title for a while, and Jinder Mahal would be, you know, probably chasing him for a little bit. So they wrote this thinking that, you know, oh well. You know, they're just trying to make these network specials for WWE Network a little bit more special, but not so special that, you know, they're, you know, trying to, you know, give you the best bang for your buck. You know, it's Randy Orton versus Jinder Mahal, but, you know, who really thinks Jinder Mahal is going to win the title, you know, because here they are, you're paying $9.99 a month for every pay-per-view every month now. So they don't really have to put so much effort into the pay-per-view. Now, then it turned around where Jinder Mahal actually won the WWE title and proved that article wrong, you know. But by the same token, I feel like that's what's happened to Raw with their pay-per-views and with their booking and everything. They feel like they don't have to put much effort into Raw because it's the flagship show. Everybody's going to watch it regardless, you know.
That's true.
And
that's a good thought.
I feel like it's kind of like falling into a hole, really, you know.
You know, it's complacency, you know.
Yeah.
Vince thinks that, oh, once basketball gets done, then we'll find another excuse to blame low ratings, which who's really watching these NBA championships? Nobody, right? I mean, people are, at least I'm not.
Well, you're only basketball fans.
Yeah, well,
people that work for basketball teams.
Yeah, well, you know, you want to watch a boring sport, go watch a boring sport. But I'm going to be watching wrestling anyway. So
the only thing I hate about basketball is it takes 45 minutes to play the last 2 minutes of the game.
Oh, it seems like so much longer when you're sitting there working the game.
I'll bet.
Anything else from Extreme Rules you guys wanted to talk about?
I thought the finish to the Fatal 5-Way was pretty cool. You know, they got Finn over pretty cool there at the end where, you know, Samoa Joe just snags him up and puts him in the clutch and he's out, you know. And Finn had one up on Reigns, you know. He was about to pin Reigns. So that kind of tells you they're trying to even the playing field out a little bit more to get these guys more exposure and, you know, make people think, hey, everybody's on a level playing field now.
I love that Joe won, but I'm worried and actually kind of scared because I'm pretty sure it's going to happen this way. But I hate that they're going to waste this feud on just a one and done.
Well,
I don't know.
It's going to be a one and done. They're not. It's
it may or may not be. I don't know.
The end game is Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. That's going to happen. You can write it down right now. And they got so many feuds I think lined up because they've got him. You know, they're going to have Seth Rollins probably do some stuff with later year. But the fact that Brock Lesnar is going to be holding this title. And he's finally going to show up with it on Raw this next upcoming Monday which the last time I think we saw Brock with the title on TV was, it was what, when he won it?
I think so.
I mean, that's,
I think so. I don't think, I don't even know if he was on the Raw after WrestleMania.
That is stupid. I hate that the main title that everyone is supposed to be fighting for is nowhere to be seen. It kills that fucking title, in my opinion. It just kills it. Miz having the Intercontinental title makes it like the premier title on Raw, especially with what he's doing on social media, with, you know, touting about it pretty much every damn day. And it's just ridiculous.
And what do you think's going to happen with the Hardy Boys now that they've lost the title? Because I personally think that they're really worried that they're going to go the same route as the Dudleys did. You know, they come back, they get a push for the whole nostalgia act, and then they just slowly drift down the card into nothingness.
I hope not, but maybe this, I don't know, maybe this is somehow how we start getting broken mad. I mean, I think, I want to say that they would like to see them as single stars, especially Jeff Hardy. I think they always liked him more as a single star than as a tag team wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe one of them gets sent to the other show. Hell if I know. Who knows? The fact that they're not broken to come in with. I mean, I know Matt still does some of his broken gestures, but I want the full broken character to somehow happen in the WWE.
I think we all do.
So, anything else from Extreme Rules? I keep saying that, and then we talk about it some
more.
Yeah.
Really, you know, it's like you said, there really wasn't too much memorable stuff, you know. It kind of went like everybody thought it was going to go, you know.
Yeah, Sasha Banks and who was it, Cedric Alexander, have kind of a...
Rich Swann
had a throwaway match with Noam Dar and Alicia Fox or something like that.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and it ended with them dancing.
What it was.
Yeah, just some throwaway match, and I don't even remember what was on the pre-show. Neville and Austin Aries, they finished out their series, didn't they?
Yeah, that was an awesome
match. It was a submission match.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, that was a good match, and it's going to be interesting to see where they go with Neville and 205 Live. Because I don't, you know, they're really struggling, I think, with the cruiserweights. You know, it's, there's nothing different about the cruiserweights. It's just guys working really good matches. Now, when you had the WCW cruiserweights back in the day, you know, these guys were flying through the air, doing flips and turns and twists and all that stuff. And now you're seeing that in heavyweight matches. Now you see guys flying around doing tope suicidas and stuff like that. So to me, you know, you see those purple ropes, and it's like, well, here we go. Here's just, and I like those style of matches. Don't get me wrong. You know, I like the Dean Malenko. I like the workhorse matches, but it's not really clicking, I think, with what they're trying to do with 205.
It's because they toned them down after the Cruiserweight Classic. You know, that got you, you know, interested in the guys and the cruiserweights. And, oh, yeah, you know, we got these smaller guys that can do all the flips and the really fast pace and nonstop and all. But then as soon as they brought up to the main roster, they, you know, like you said, Dan, they've been throttled down. And they're not allowed to do all those they're not allowed to do the things that the fans want to see.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, that's it. I think we can move on for. Go ahead.
To them, it's like protecting an investment, you know. But at the same time, you know, they're riding these guys, you know, 5-6 days a week, you know, to go and do a live show, to go and do an NXT show, or to go and do a regular roster show, you know. And so it you know. I'm kind of like ticked off at the fact that people like, oh, you know, Sasha Banks is injury prone, or, you know, Tamina Snuka is injury prone, or, you know, I'm just picking random people's names out of thin air, but, you know, to say somebody's injury prone, but then you ride them 5-6 days a week to get in the ring and have matches constantly over and over again, you know, and here they've been going through the ringer for years, just trying to get to WWE. And now WWE puts them through the ringer. So, you know, I hate, you know, when people like classify somebody as injury prone, because it's like, well, you know, if you were doing, you know, 2, maybe 3 matches a day and 5 and 6 cities a week, yeah, I think your body would start falling apart on you too. You know? So, you know, it's, I hate when somebody does that though, you know, and I think WWE does that a lot to their wrestlers. They just ride them hard. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, you just can't take it. And we're going to de-push you, you know, and that's kind of the mode that Sasha's in right now, you know, cause she's had a couple of injuries when they put the titles on her and they put her in title feuds and stuff like that. She's had a couple of injuries, you know, but that's just the way the nature of the business is. So,
just like Dolph Ziggler.
Yep. Just like Dolph. You know, he'll you know, put himself through hell just to get all these different matches, and he'll bump like a son of a gun, you know, and put these guys over and everything. But as soon as he gets a title and he gets an injury, oh, we can't trust him. No, wait. What happened to the last, you know, 5 years you've been building this guy? You know?
Best of the Super Juniors has concluded, and this year's winner in one of the greatest matches I think you can ever get a chance to see, Will Ospreay versus Kushida. Man, those guys tore it apart, and Kushida is your 2017 Best of the Super Junior winner, which means he's going to get a title shot against Hiromu Tanahashi. I think that's how you say it. And yeah, he is going to get to have a match with him again. And this time, I'm sure the match is going to be a little more competitive other than that squash match they had. I don't know if it's going to be at Dominion or not, which is their next biggest show. But I'm excited. I really love Kushida. I think he's a great worker. And him and Will Ospreay are two of the best wrestlers in the world. And it was a great tournament because you got to see guys like Marty Scurll, El Desperado, Kushida, Bushi, ACH, you know, all these guys that really love wrestling and are just so damn awesome, except for Taichi. He's kind of annoying, but that's neither here nor there. Also,
is there any update on Shibata?
He's probably never going to wrestle again. I think I saw something today. He's never going to wrestle again, but he may end up being a trainer or coach for New Japan Pro Wrestling, which,
damn.
Yeah, that sucks, man, because everyone that's been listening to this podcast recently knows that I'm a big, big, big Shibata fan. I think he puts on great matches, and he just knows how to whip ass, and that's just all he did, and now we'll probably never get to see him in a ring again.
I think people that don't listen to the podcast know how big of a Shibata fan you are.
Well, I made it my avatar on Skype at my work, so people want to. They're like, "Are you really some strong-looking Asian dude?" Like, no, I promise.
Yeah, that is me.
These past 2 weeks, we've had the return of Lucha Underground, and it has been really entertaining. It started off last week with an all-night-long match between the Mac and Johnny Mundo, and those guys. It was it was all night long, so it's kind of like an Iron Man match. The person who gets the most pinfalls or submissions and it was all show long. There's only one match. Will get is your winner, and it was tied 3-3. The Mac, I mean, all the hell had broken loose. Worldwide Underground was in there. Jack Evans and Taya and PJ Black, or maybe Taya wasn't there, but PJ Black and Sexy Star and who is the guy? Matt Cross. Who is he in? Why can't I think of his name in Lucha Underground? Black Mask, motorcycle guy, big beard. Son of Havoc. That's it.
Son of Havoc.
And he came out to help him. I mean, it was just big brawl. 10 seconds left. The Mac hits Mundo with a Stone Cold Stunner, and he's stumbling, he gets the pin, and before the ref can count 3, time expired, and there was a tie. And Dario Cuadosic, next week we're going to have, it's going to be continued, and the next one to score a pinfall wins. And, of course, the Mac gets screwed over by Taya, who comes out and helps Johnny Mundo, and Johnny Mundo is still your Lucha Underground champion. They also announced the Cueto Cup, a tournament involving, I think, 32 luchadors. That is going to, the winner will get a shot at the Lucha Underground Championship, and Matanza will not be in this thing because he pissed off his brother. So yeah, I mean, it's Lucha Underground's kind of picking up some steam. We saw a little bit of those scary luchador guys in the Mike the Dragon and the Lizard guys from, you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't know.
With Cobra Moon. They had a three-way match, and they actually won with the help of Drago. They won the Trios Championship from Aerostar and Phoenix, and who's the other guy on their team? Why can't I think of his name right now? I got to take better notes. Anyway, your new trio champions are Cobra Moon and her lackeys, Drago, who is under the power of Cobra Moon. And yeah, Lucha Underground is back. I think that these past two episodes have been really great. So if you have El Rey Network, I strongly recommend you check it out. If you have Sling TV, you can watch it there. And not only that, El Rey, I think, is a fun network because during the day you get Knight Rider, you get Airwolf. You know, they're always showing
Airwolf.
They're always showing Kung Fu movies. Stuff like that. I think El Rey's a fun network. Like, every so often you'll catch Enter the Dragon, or you'll catch Mortal Kombat or shit like that. And then, you know, scary movies, which I can't watch. But yeah, I think Lucha Underground is a fun network. Dan, how are you doing on Netflix with Lucha Underground?
I'm still catching up to everything, but I'm still only about halfway through season one. You know,
oh, okay.
I've fallen behind. I should have caught up though.
So I'm giving you a bunch of damn spoilers, aren't I?
What's that?
I've been giving you a bunch of damn spoilers, haven't I? Well, I'm going to give you more. Prince Puma is he was in a Grave Consequences match this season against Mil Muertes, which is a casket match. And he lost, and apparently his soul went to hell, and they brought it back, and now he's battling demons in his head or something like that. And Ray was trying to snap him out of it, and Vampiro was there saying, hey, stay away from my student. And in a match with Mil Muertes, these guys had a very violent match. Vampiro hands Prince Puma a brick, and Prince Puma smashes it over the head of Mil Muertes. These guys kicked the shit out of each other. You could see whelps on the back of Mil Muertes for some of the shots he was taking. I mean, it's just very violent, very great match. Mil Muertes is such a monster. Have you gotten to where you've seen him on Lucha Underground?
Not yet.
You have not seen Mil Muertes yet? Big old dude in a mask?
I'm getting to him, I think.
Okay. With Katrina, his manager, and yeah, it's just... What I love.
Oh wait, no! I have seen that.
Yeah,
I have seen him. Yeah,
that dude
he comes out in the old school pinstripe tights, doesn't he?
At first, but something's gonna happen, and he's gonna come back a little differently.
Okay.
So just wait.
But
for
yeah,
it.
That is a big dude.
Yeah, as for a luchador too, he's a pretty damn big dude. He's a great wrestler and puts on, I think, entertaining matches and is not afraid to get a little physical in the ring. That's I love Lucha Underground. Everyone is a star and. It's just a very fun show to watch. Mike, where are you on Lucha Underground?
Way, way behind.
Okay. Do you have El Rey now?
No, I don't have El Rey.
Okay. Well, I guess I need not delete them off my DVR and you can watch it some over here. So, I think that is pretty much anything else you guys wanted to hit on. Dan, did you have any NWA Smoky Mountain news you wanted to get to?
No, they had a little bit, but not much. I wasn't at the last show. It was a benefit show. I think it was benefiting the Patriot Foundation, and I think they raised about $1,600. You know, they did a pretty good job raising money and everything. So, you know, kudos to, you know, Tony and NWA Smoky Mountain for, you know, throwing these benefit shows. They do a lot of benefit shows. They stay active in the community, you know. And I'll be perfectly honest. It's not like any other benefit shows that I've seen around the Mid-South. You know, I've actually seen, you know, money change hands in front of everybody. You know, they actually come out in front of everybody and they hand over the money in front of everybody to the people that they're having the benefit show for, you know. And that happens every time over here. So, I mean, it's pretty cool, you know, to see, you know, wrestlers and wrestling be active in the community over here. You know, it's a close-knit family, and, you know, as far as wrestling goes, it's a great company to work for over here, and I'm looking forward to seeing what Billy Corgan's got in store for us.
Yeah, has there been any news on what that means for you guys?
Not really. There's like a hiccup in the buying process. There's some sort of copyright thing that that the previous NWA owner did not renew last year or was behind on or something. So he's got to bring that up to date for the licensing and all that stuff to be able to go through. So I don't know if it's, I don't know how critical that is in the whole deal process, if it's a deal breaker or not, but it's definitely a large hiccup in the road, as far as the buying process and everything. So it's something that lawyers and everybody are probably going to have to take care of. Mm-hmm. So, but, like I said, I'm real interested to see where it goes because, Corgan's got some money behind him. You know,
and he seems to have, as far as wrestling television goes, I think he seems to have a good mind for it.
I think he does too, because I mean, he grew up. You know, he grew up on WWF Attitude Era and the WCW Monday Night Wars with WWE. So you know, he grew up on as a wrestling fan on all that. You know, same stuff we grew up on. Mm-hmm. So you know. It's going to be pretty cool to see what Corgan winds up doing, you know, in the end. You know, I don't know, you know, what it'll mean for all the promotions that have NWA names, because there's a lot of them. Right. So it's going to be difficult to say what happens with everybody, but, you know, times are changing.
How do you guys like what they decided to name the women's tournament that's coming up in this summer?
Oh, that's awesome. The Mae Young. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, the Mae Young Classic. I'm really excited. I think we're going to see some premier women's wrestling. They have so many talented people that are probably going to be involved in this tournament, including former guest of the show, Amazon Andrea. You've got Ruby mm-hmm. Riott. You've got Nikki Cross. You got.
I think somebody said Lita was going to try to make an appearance, maybe.
I think she's going to be calling it. If I had to guess, she's probably going to be
calling it.
She's going to be calling that tournament. So, unless who knows what other independent wrestlers we may see brought in for this. You know, of course, they have a good relationship with Leva Bates, Blue Pants. You know, maybe some Raw women will show up. Like, this is something I could see them bringing Mickie James back in for. For this tournament, just to give them a vet name for it. So it's going to be a fun tournament, and I can't wait to watch it. So
I'd love to see Victoria brought back.
Oh yeah, I'd love that too.
Is there talk that she may be coming back for it?
Not that I've heard. Okay. But she's just on my wish list.
I think it's time. You know, Gail Kim, is she still with TNA?
Yeah, she's
an Impact.
I actually just saw something on her, you know, a couple of days ago. She doesn't actually currently have a contract with TNA, but she said she has one in hand and she's not going to go anywhere else. I mean, she said TNA is her home.
Okay. Well, if they could somehow get her away from that, I think that'd be fun to see her come back in. And there's just so many Sassy Steffi I would like to see get into this tournament. You know, Cheyenne. The Great Cheyenne,
yeah.
I think that'd be a hell of addition and be something totally different from any other woman you're going to see in that tournament.
Absolutely.
So,
have her come out with her little, I forgot what she called them, but her minions, I'll call them.
Yeah, her slaves, you know, I think is what she called them.
Yeah, her slaves.
Yeah. And, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to the owner and operator of Committed to Wrestling, a new up-and-coming wrestling promotion here in Memphis, Tennessee. Stick around. This is the Oversell. Welcome back to the Oversell Podcast. And I think it's time. Yep, I think it's time. It's time for a little bit of wrestling trivia.
Can you feel it, sir? It's time for a little bit of wrestling trivia.
It is time. It is time. It's been a while. It's time for a little bit of wrestling trivia. And Dan is our trivia host this week. Dan, I'm handing the show over to you.
All right. Well, I've just got multiple choice like I always do because I feel bad just throwing you guys out there with nothing to pick from, you know. So, got my horseman trivia. Yeah.
Like, I told you the answer.
Yeah, I told you the answer, sucker. Oh, man. All right. Well, this is all Four Horsemen trivia. You know, from their origins, you know, and everything to just about, you know, just little details and everything throughout the Horsemen's reign of terror, as we like to say, or reign over the wrestling world here. So I've got about 10 questions. Let's see. We only got two people, right?
Derek for winning.
Yep, just me.
Yeah. So I guess I'll just split it down even. We'll do 5 questions apiece.
Okay.
And let's see here. Let me get something to write with right quick. I'm all kinds of organized here today. All right. Question one. Let's see here. All right. Derek, in April 1988, Barry Windham, a longtime fan favorite, joined the Horsemen for the first time to the disgust of friends and fans. In order to cement his status, Barry turned on one of his allies during a tag team match. Who was his ally? Was it Sting? Was it Lex Luger? Was it Dr. Death Steve Williams? Or was it Nikita Koloff?
I'm going to go with Dr. Death Steve Williams.
That is wrong. It was Lex Luger.
Shit. Fantastic start already.
All right. Mike, in May of 1993, on Ric Flair's television segment of Flair for the Gold, founding members Flair and the Andersons had been teasing a Horsemen reunion for a while. What the fans had expected and what they got was a different thing. Who was the final Horseman revealed on this night? Was it the Honky Tonk Man? Was it Haku? Was it Pretty Paul Roma, or was it the One Man Gang?
I'm going to go with Roma.
That would be correct.
Guess. I can guess.
All right. Okay, the Four Horsemen. This is for Derek. More or less came to pass in January 1986 when Ric Flair, Tully Blanchard, and the Andersons had to share an interview during which one of the four made a reference to the famed Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Who made this legendary comment? Was it Ole Anderson, Arn Anderson, Ric Flair or Tully Blanchard?
I'm going to go with Ole.
It was Arn.
Damn it.
Okay, Mike's got one. You got zero, Derek. Yep. Oh, man, there's going to be some New Japan trivia coming from straight up my rear end. I know that. okay. Mike, the group, which many consider the finest, included Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Barry Windham, Tully Blanchard, and, of course, J.J. Dillon as the manager. The reason why they are considered the best is because, in addition to their considerable talents, they also held titles simultaneously. Which of the following wrestlers are matched with the wrong championship? Ric Flair with the NWA heavyweight title, Arn Anderson with the NWA television title, Barry Windham with the NWA United States title, Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard with the NWA tag team titles.
I'm going to say Arn Anderson is the TV title.
That is correct.
Fucking shitting me.
Hell yeah, I can guess.
All right. Unfortunately, nothing lasts forever, and wrestling careers are no exception, as Arn Anderson was forced into an early retirement in August of 1997 due to injury. This is for Derek. In Anderson's heartfelt retirement speech on Nitro, Arn handpicked his successor to carry on the mantle of the enforcer for the quartet. Who was the famous wrestler who filled the role, albeit very briefly? Was it Kurt Hennig? Was it Rick Rude? Was it Larry Zbyszko, or was it Bret the Hitman Hart?
If I remember correctly, it was Kurt Hennig, and then he turned on the Four Horsemen and joined the NWO.
That's 100% correct. And I might even give you half a point for telling you the whole storyline.
I mainly remember that because the NWO also did a spoof where someone was, you know, they were doing the characters, and it would
be... You're giving me my spot.
It would be my honor. And did a big old exaggerated handshake.
Yeah.
That was not a guess.
Okay. The original quartet, this is for Mike, the original quartet of Flair, Blanchard, and the Andersons were known for their gang-style tactics on many of the NWA's fan favorites of the era, which naturally resulted in many, many injuries to some stars. Which of the following injuries can the Horsemen not claim ownership of? Ricky Morton's broken nose, Ronnie Garvin's broken hand, Nikita Koloff's neck injury, or Dusty Rhodes' re-injured leg?
Nikita Koloff.
Damn, Mike. You're on fire, dude. let's see here. All right, Derek. In late 1989, Flair and the Andersons reformed the group with this mega popular star of the NWA WCW late 80s through mid 90s era. The inclusion of this star in the faction marked the first time that the group were billed as fan favorites. It did not last long. Who was the superstar? Paul Orndorff, Ricky Steamboat, Rick Steiner, or Sting?
I'm going to go with Sting.
You are correct.
Oh, sweet.
He was a horseman for a cup of coffee. Right now, Mike has 3. Derek, you got 2.5.
Sweet.
That gave you half a point for remembering that whole storyline with Kurt Hennig. All right. Mike, in July 1987 at the Great American Bash, one of the all-time greatest gimmick matches, the War Games, the Match from Beyond, was introduced. During the bout, the Road Warriors legitimately injured Dillon's shoulder, and thus he couldn't compete in the rematch at the conclusion of the bash. A hulking masked man called the War Machine took his place. Who was the man under the mask who was a horseman affiliate for one card? Was it Big Bubba Rogers? Was it One Man Gang? Was it King Kong Bundy, or was it Kamala?
Big Bubba.
Big Bubba.
Jesus Christ.
That's what I'm saying. Mike heard I was doing horseman trivia, and he's been watching all the horseman stuff from 1980s. Okay. Derek.
Hold on. I seem to have lost. Hold on. My headphones are getting all jacked up here. Now I can hear you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. By January 1989, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, and J.J. Dillon had all departed for the WWF, leaving just Ric Flair and Barry Windham. Briefly, the group was going to continue with the legendary Hiro Matsuda as manager and two more men filling the Anderson and Blanchard roles. Who were these men that never made it to the actual Horsemen roster in early 1989? Was it Michael Hayes and Terry Gordy? Was it Hacksaw Butch Reed and Bob Orton Jr.? Was it Dick Slater and Dick Murdoch? Or was it Dory and Terry Funk?
I'm going to go with Dick Murdoch and whoever else.
Dick Murdoch and Dick Slater?
Yep.
That is incorrect. It was going to be Hacksaw Butch Reed and Bob Orton Jr. I took this test and I got this wrong too, because I put down Michael Hayes and Terry Gordy. So Mike has 4 and you have 2.5.
Okay.
So why don't we make the last question for all the marbles? One last stab here. And, let me see here. All right. Like I said earlier, some incarnations have been great and some have been flops. Some have had fan appeal and not the full support of the wrestlers within the actual Horsemen grouping. One such group included veteran members Ric Flair, Barry Windham, Arn Anderson, with Ole serving as a manager. The fourth man was a rising talent who was prone to violent outbursts. Who was it? Was it Sid Vicious, Stan Hansen, Lex Luger, or Bruiser Brody? And I'll take answers from either one of you guys, and I'll tell you if you're right after I have both answers.
Violent outbursts. I mean, when you say that, I can only go with Sid.
Okay.
I'll go Bruiser Brody.
All right. Derek, you are correct. It is Sid.
Hell yeah. So what does that mean?
So you, let's see. We make it for all the marbles. We'll just double your points, and you have 4.5. You win by half a point.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Dan. Your professional wrestling brain. So I had 2.5 points, right?
Yeah.
And I doubled them?
You doubled them. That's 5. Sorry.
Sweet. Yeah, I win.
You said it. I got professional wrestling brain. What can I say?
Math was never your strong suit. Let's do a quick wrestling moment, and then we'll get our superstar of the week and get out of here. We are going to, it is June 1st, 1981, 8 p.m. bell time at the Mid-South Coliseum. Roger Howell, I think that's what that says. Roger Howell. versus Sonny King, Jim Dalton versus Plowboy Frazier, Coco Ware versus Tojo Yamamoto, Mr. Onita, Masa Fuchi with Tojo Yamamoto versus Tim Leonard and Chief Thundercloud. Golden Boy, not Greg Anthony, Chick Donovan versus Roy Rogers, Bill Dundee versus Stan Lane, and Kevin Sullivan, Wayne Ferris, and the Nightmares with Jimmy Hart versus Bill Dundee, the Dream Machine, Dutch Mantel, and Jerry Lawler. Bill Dundee wins the belt. Bill Dundee whips Stan Lane to earn the U.S. Junior Heavyweight Wrestling Championship in last night's feature bout at the Coliseum. In other matches, Sonny King stopped Buddy Wayne. Plowboy Frazier buried Jim Dalton. Coco Ware defeated Tojo Yamamoto. Mr. Onita and Masa Fuchi handled Tim Leonard and Chief Thundercloud. The Chief Thundercloud, Roy Rogers, pulled the trigger on Chick Donovan, and Dutch Mantel, Jerry Lawler, and the Dream Machine teamed up to whip Kevin Sullivan, Wayne Ferris, and the Nightmares. That is your Memphis Wrestling Moment. As we like to end every episode, we like to do Superstar of the Week. So, guys, I ask you, who is your
Superstar of the Week?
I'm going to go with Joe.
Samoa Joe. Okay. Mike.
Number one contender, man. I am excited to see this match. I I'm with everybody else. I know what the outcome is going to be, but I'm excited to see Joe take on, you know, Lesnar and see what kind of psychology this match is actually going to have.
Okay. Mike?
I'm going with Samoa Joe just because of what he did to Paul Heyman.
Yep.
I loved that whole segment. And when he actually, like, backed Heyman into the corner and, you know, the camera was close enough where you could still hear Joe, even though he didn't have the mic, just how he told him. He's like, you know, I'm going to wrap my arms around your neck. You're going to feel the tightening. And just went step by step and everything that he was going to do to him. And then he did it.
I'm going.
Yeah, I don't,
go ahead. No, go ahead, Dan.
I can guarantee you Heyman produced that segment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very well done. Very well done. I am going to go with the Mac. He is the underdog we all need in professional wrestling, and him and Johnny Mundo these past 2 weeks on Lucha Underground have killed it. That is it for this week. Be sure you are following us on Twitter. We're at Oversell Podcast, Facebook.com/Oversell Podcast. You can follow me at Derek, DerickOverSell.
I am at One Dangerous Dan, and I'm on Facebook, Dangerous Dan Matthews.
At WolfMike23.
Also, be sure to head over to www.oversellpod.com. That is the website. And check out the Amazon link right underneath the main player on the front page and check it out. You're going to shop on Amazon anyway. Why not help your podcast do it by shopping there? We just get a small kickback on anything that is sold through that link. There's no extra fees or hidden fees or anything like that. It's just you shopping on Amazon like you normally would. Also, the easiest way to get to this podcast is to subscribe on iTunes and wherever podcasts are available. So be sure you do that. And while you're there on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Check out the comments. I haven't checked iTunes in a while. Let me see if we have any reviews here. And I'll read them. Let's see. Search.
Careful.
I don't. Hey, even if they said we suck balls or something like that, it's still a review. Let's see.
It means somebody listened.
Let's see. Reviews.
Somebody's listening.
Nope. No new reviews yet, but leave us those review, folks, on iTunes, and we will read them on the air. Folks, thank you for listening. This has been the Oversell Podcast.